Greetings, sisters and brothers. I want to welcome you to our wonderful worship podcast, which happens every Sunday and is available all week for your nourishment and for your spiritual growth. My name is Skylar Rhodes, and I'm the pastor at Petaluma United Methodist Church, and I delight in being with you today and look forward to us worshiping and going deep together into God's sacred text and word. Welcome, and let us call ourselves into worship.
Join me in the call to worship. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Call us to release our fears and our worries. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Call us to open our hearts to you in worship in this moment. Amen.
Call to confession. We come in this moment to say the truth about what is in our hearts, about how our spirits are flowing. We come also to say the truth about who we are and to whom we belong. Come, let us enter into confessional prayer together. Prayer of Confession. Holy One, we come to you this day with hearts that are shaken and a little afraid of how our world will unfold. The world is always a little scary, God, but in these times it feels terrifying. We confess that the fear gets to us, God. We confess that in our fearful selves, we do not always follow your way as best we can. Forgive us, we pray. Have mercy on us when we do not feel strong enough to resist the powers of fear and evil. Pour out on us a spirit of courage and joy, a spirit of power and wonder. Help us, we pray, to feel your presence during these dark and confusing times. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Forgiveness is a gift offered freely and always by God. Our work is to turn and embrace that forgiveness so that its power can change and move us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Good morning. The first reading is from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. This ends the reading.
Nonda lesone na same ndoran rau to subu diwa. Manando kinono, wangwana kinorongo. Ichawa ko ni sandi keviau, kakile yau. Ona sakilana nuku tiku somu gina nuku tudake. Ona sakilana nuku manilomango ni seyao tiku. Ni savatovle na nuku ilolago, kina nuku kotkoto. O sakilanda ivaka, na nuku ipolapola kitanga. Isa senga indu na vosa, engusungu. Sa seni kilende ivaki, kewa kede sara, vike muni tiova. Ni navagalati au kiliu, ki muri talanga. Kana tambaki au na enelinga muni. A huku buka koya, sandende sara vi au. Ni sa viva kurumbotaki. Sa vevere, au sa sanga nirawata.
The next scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was born from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael come toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to go to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man."
Savia la wea niki kalili ku chisu. Asa kune Filipi kakavua muri au. A kaipedisaita ko Filipi anondro koro ko Andrew kei pita. Sa kune na Danieli ko Filipi kakavua keto sa kune koea sa volovola kina ko Mosese ene vunau viiratela na profita ko chisu na kena siredi aluvi Josepha. Asa kavua Kona Danieli, e tumurambeaka mai Nasiredi induna kabinaka, sa kako Filipi, lako mai, mumereida. Sa redi na Danieli ko Chisu, ni sa lako tiko mai bua, asa kaya sa tukuni koya. Reida, indua na lubi sirilindina, sa siangavi koya na viva kaisini. Sa kaya bua kona Danieli, o nisa kileo mai vei, sa vos ko tisu kaka, I sember ni kavivi ko Filipi, ni ko atiko e na rukuni lolo a warediko. Sa vos ko na denele kaka, vabubuli, ko I kemuni na lubi ni kalu, ko I kemuni na nonotu I na Israeli. Sa vos ko tisu kaka wa, ni sa kaya viko a warediko e na rukuni lolo, ko sa vambote ne, ko na reda na vika sa uosivi ongo. Asa kaiwa kukoya indina indina, asa kaiwa kemdou, e nangono mai muri, dono redo nolo malangi ni sato ase, kena ingilo sinikilou, nire sa lago dake, ka lago sombu, uwano lewea nilubi ni temata. Vingu babaka lo tatakana kilou, nanono bosa ndarongata indindai.
Good morning, friends. So how great it is to be with you today. You know, I've been out here in California for about a quarter of a century now, but I, like so many of us, came from a different place before I got here. And I'm guessing that even if you're a native Californian, or whether you come from Ohio or New Jersey or wherever you come from, that I'd be willing to bet that there was a neighborhood, a town, or even a state that people used to look down their noses at. When I was a kid growing up in the small village of Cobleskill, New York, there was a part of town that was literally on the other side of the tracks. I was too young to kind of pick up on the nuances, but somehow everyone looked down on that neighborhood and the people in it. Turns out it was economics mostly, but also race considerations. And I discovered over time that this was actually pretty much true every place I lived over the years. In Albany, New York, where I lived for an amount of time, there was the Arbor Hill neighborhood, and you don't want to go there, or God forbid, live there, because, ooh, you know what I mean? And that was based on race and economics. When I lived in New York City, everyone liked to make fun of Staten Island in New Jersey. Everyone in Manhattan, that is. And at one point, the acrimony between Staten Island and Manhattan was that the Staten Islanders repositioned Revolutionary War era cannons so that they're pointed at Manhattan. And, you know, Manhattanites love to disparage, well, pretty much anyone who doesn't live in Manhattan. But we see this same thing happening a lot. And people in Jesus' time were hardly, how shall we say, exempt from that. You know, we see it recounted rather in the Gospel of John passage we shared today. Now look at that, and thanks for the great reading that we received. There is palpable excitement about this Jesus, and it's coming from everywhere. People have heard him. They've heard about him. Some have seen him work wonders. So Philip, all excited, finds Nathanael and basically says, you got to check this guy out. He's the real deal. He's the one who was promised, this Jesus from Nazareth. And Nathanael turns a cynical eye to Philip and says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Ooh, ouch. You know, Nazareth was a town of lower economic status. It was pretty rural. You could say it was the boondocks or Hicksville. In any case, it was not the kind of place that would obviously produce a revered prophet, let alone the Messiah. Isn't it odd that we tend to do this to towns, locations, even nations and people? When I was a kid, it was the Soviet Union. We were carefully trained to believe that it was an evil empire, even though no one we knew had ever been there or met a citizen. Now, I'm not defending or putting down a particular nation or people. I just need to point out that we humans somehow have this ongoing need to see some places and people as other, as lower, as not as good as us. And the same was true in Jesus' time. You know, Nathanael may have been the one to say the words, but, you know, a lot of folks were probably thinking it. Who is this Jesus coming from all places? Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And you've heard it before, haven't you? Perhaps with another town or location or people, but I think we've all heard it. And in this season, my friends, Jesus arrives as the Son of God. And from the very get-go, he does something. He comes to defy our assumptions and our expectations, just like he defied Nathanael's expectations of what could come out of Nazareth. Well, he is from Nazareth, right? And then, of course, he's the son of a journeyman carpenter. And finally, the thing that kind of rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, he was kind of loosey-goosey with the religious rules, and folks don't like that. But at the end of the day, even Nathanael's cynicism is conquered by the love that is shown through this small-town rabbi. As we look at this, it seems to me that we're too often ourselves the victims of assumptions and stories fed to us by others, given to us by years of so-called tradition. We assume that those folks from that bad neighborhood are, well, bad. How can anything good come out of Staten Island, Arbor Hill in Albany, New York? On and on, you could insert your own town or location. And then, what happens when we allow these assumptions to overtake us? What happens when we put a town, a nation, or a people in a prejudged box? Well, we all lose, that's what happens. Rather than open ourselves up to newness and potential and possibility, we rely, or we tend to rely, on information that is often fed to us and so often is inaccurate. Anyone seen this happening in our nation lately? The truth, though, my friends, my sisters and brothers, is that not only can something good come out of Nazareth, something world-changing can come out of Nazareth, even the Son of God. You know, having moved from New York's Manhattan a long time ago, I've repented of some of the views that I absorbed from the natives of Manhattan about bordering states and regions and areas. Folk from Manhattan, you know, think they're at the center of the universe. And while I gotta say New York is pretty amazing, it's not, as it turns out, the center of the universe. In fact, we know it turns out that Petaluma is the center of the universe. Amen? Well, you get where I'm going, right? The call comes to us today basically to check our assumptions, whether it's a people or a place or an ethnic group or a nationality. We got to release a lot of the things we've learned if we're going to follow the way of Jesus, the prejudices, the slanted perspectives, the simply false stuff that is so convinced that it can assume that anything coming out of Nazareth must be bad. What are some of the assumptions that we carry? What do we assume about certain ideologies or practices or locations or places? You know, I know we did it, you know, even as our denomination. Growing up Methodist, we learned through some kind of osmosis that we are better than Presbyterians or Baptists or Lutherans or whatever. I mean, can anything good come out of the Baptist church? Well, friends, try Martin Luther King Jr. on for size. Oh, right. Can anything good come out of the Lutheran church? Well, try Dietrich Bonhoeffer on for size, a witness who rebelled against the Nazi tyranny. Well, I could go on, but you get it. The truth is that we are called in Jesus to burst all of our assumptions, all of our carefully honed opinions. Jesus comes to show us that what we've always thought was strong is actually weak. He comes to show us that the things we thought were really good may not be so good after all, that those we thought were wise maybe are not wise, and so forth. At the very least, Jesus comes and puts a hand on each one of our shoulders and calls us to re-examine our assumptions, our beliefs, our opinions. You know, we could, Jesus observes, be wrong. So the question falls to us, like it does, you know, in the 12-step programs, and I'm so glad our church is hosting those. It's a powerful healing process. But in the 12-step program, people are called to take, I think the language is right here, a fearless moral inventory of their lives. And we're called to do the same thing. Our measuring stick, though, is Jesus. So we take a fearless moral inventory of our lives using Jesus as our measuring stick. And I say this specifically Because I think sometimes we use the wrong things to measure with. At least I know I have in my life. You know, we use wealth, material possessions, ideology, or any host of things that are not, that do not, frankly, come close to the way of Jesus, the way of compassion, of love, of grace and healing. You know, I have one assumption that actually that you all blew away from me. I think if I'm honest, I had assumed that a church with closed doors in the midst of a pandemic was no church at all. And yet, my friends, my dear friends, look at Petaluma United Methodist Church, moving, praying, living, serving, loving, and sharing through a circumstance that none of us ever imagined. My assumption is blown out of the water by you and Jesus as you move together in partnership. So what assumptions do you hold that Jesus comes to challenge? What perspectives or opinions does this guy from Nazareth come to shake up in our hearts and minds? And having shaken us up, what new insights does he offer? Because, you know, Jesus is not merely going to remove your assumptions and walk away. He comes to offer new life, new possibilities, new hope, and yes, new perspectives. What fresh viewpoint of humanity, of the world, of love and grace does Jesus come to offer you, to offer us as a church? You know, I've witnessed Jesus arriving in this pandemic to show us new ways of being church. I've witnessed Jesus showing up in frightening times to let us know that even when we feel at our darkest place, that he's got this. And I've seen my assumptions about many things, actually, over the years give way as grace flows in and love fills out a space in my life and in all of our lives. So, friends, as we go today, let's go look into Nazareth, knowing that good stuff can and does come from there. Let's go looking into places that we might not normally check to see our assumptions vanish as Jesus hands us the holy perspective of love, forgiveness, compassion, justice, and new life. Amen, and God bless you today. Let's join together for a time of prayer. God of grace and God of glory, on your people pour your power on this day. God, we have been on a roller coaster ride of uncertainty and chaos, of disease, and God, we are shaken up and we're tired. We ask that you come and pour a spirit out on us of new life and new beginning, a spirit of revived energy and love. God, we come this day having weathered many things. Some of us, God, have lost loved ones in this pandemic, and we grieve. Some of us have friends and people we have not seen in far too long because of quarantine, and we're missing them. There is a hole in our lives where they once were. God, we come as community, and we ache to be together again in our sacred space, in our sanctuary, and you have called us to go on and be church, even though that's not possible right now. God, we ask that you be with each one of us in all of the struggles that we have. For those of us who suffer being alone and isolated, for those of us who are ill and struggling in broken relationships, God, we are a human family, and we are involved in all the foibles of human reality, and we ask that you accompany us, walk with us. We know that our faith is not some magic insurance policy, but that rather our faith ensures that you will walk through us no matter where we go, that you will walk with us everywhere. So hear us, God, hold us, pour that special spirit of love upon us that we might overflow with it and turn to share it with others. We ask this, we pray for our church, we pray for all our people and the people of our town and our nation. We pray especially this day for our nation, God. We ask all of this in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Tamaki mami mailo malangi, me varoro taikine dhamuni. Me adhamaina nomuni matintu. Me dhagana lo mamuni burbura, me pakasa dhaga mailo malangi. Nisile me viki mami nisingongo na kakane rutiki mami. Nimbukoda manda nineme miradala. Me pakaki mami sambukoda, were sa dhagadala viki mami. Nikaku nikotiki mami gine vere. Kamuni vambuli ke mami maina dha. Nisa nomuni na matinitu. Kena kaukaua, kena langilangi, asangani mundu. Amen.
Sisters and brothers, we come to the time in our worship today when we receive the offering of our gifts and our tithes. This is a time when we, as part of our commitment as community members, as ones united in service, give up part of what God gave us. You know, God gave everything we have to us, so we're only giving a little bit back for the work of God's church and God's love. There are many ways that you can give. You can write a check and mail it to the church through the U.S. Post Office at 410 D Street in Petaluma, California. You can drop one by and just put it in the mail slot. You can also go on to our website at www.petalumaumc.org and make a donation there. And we have a new way of giving, which is through texting, and I believe that there is some directions on that in the bulletin for this podcast today. However you give, we appreciate your commitment, your generosity, and we know that you know how important it is that we continue to serve the people in our community, to serve our God, and to build a safe place for people to explore their faith. So I thank you for your generosity. Let us pray. Holy God, we come and give our offering this day as a sign and a symbol of a whole life that is committed to living in love, a whole life that is moving forward in joy and wonder. Take us now and dedicate these gifts to your service. Take our hearts, our hands, take all that we are, God, that it might be used in your service to the ends of your love. We ask this, we pray this, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we go this day, let us go in peace. Let us go not with the kind of peace that the world describes, but the peace of God which comes to us through Christ Jesus, the peace of self-giving love, the peace that comes when we surrender ourselves to be in community together. And let us go and share that peace everywhere we go in the name of the Creator, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.